Welcome to the International
Radio.
Welcome to the International Association of Black Triathletes, IBT radio show for triathletes. Tonight we have a wonderful show just for you. IBT radio show focus is to educate and increase the population for IBT's radio show is to educate and increase participation in triathlons for African Americans, and hope this knowledge will bless all individuals regardless of level of experience and endurance. This is Dr. Tahima Dorsey, the Executive Director of IBT and co-founder. And IBT started this radio show in order to be a voice for African Americans in this sport, but not just to be a voice, but to also help to share knowledge so that people can get up off the couch and get started with things they would like to do, such as triathlons or just to be active. In the midst of that, we're also hoping that the information shared will motivate other African-American women and men and youth to also get involved. Back in 2009, there was a study done on triathlons, and African-Americans at that point, which was some years ago, 6 years ago, only made up of 0.5% of our of the triathlon population. So we're hoping from an IBT standpoint that we can help increase those numbers as the years move forward. But for us, IBT, in order to increase those numbers, we want to be able to educate people where they are today. So the information we share, the educational webinars we provide, the foundation and support that we have for our members and even non-members, is that to support the person first before the athlete. Because the more well-rounded you are as a person, the more well-rounded you are as an individual, the more that you know about your strengths versus your weaknesses, and then your weaknesses to improve on them, which in hindsight improve on your strengths, make you a better, and then once you have that foundational principle set, then becoming or entering or escalating as an athlete or triathlete makes you even a better, well-rounded person when you're doing your event. So hopefully the information that we share tonight with our awesome guests will allow you to be blessed where you are. And if you're already a triathlete, hoping the information will continue to propel and motivate you and inspire you to be even better than who you are today. And the one other key thing is that for us at IBT, we don't believe in the competition of one another. We believe in a collaboration. So we're hoping that you, if inspired tonight, will go back and reach back and help another person in your community, in your household, in your family, in your culture, whether you're African-American, minority, or other. Just reach back, because this issue that we're fighting, the whole health issue, is larger than any culture or cultural diversity that we could ever see. So tonight we have, and then to find out more about IBT, please visit our website, which is www.theibt.org. And if you would like to become a guest or a sponsor or advertise on the show, you can email us at ibttriathletes@gmail.com. That's ibttriathletes@gmail.com. We have an awesome guest tonight, which has been identified as IBT's Member of the Month. Actually, he is our first IBT member that has been given this honor. So what better way and who better than to start it than our guest this evening? And not only is he IBT's first Member of the Month, but he recently, less than 24 hours ago, finished Ironman Texas 70/30 event. So we're really excited to hear from him. But before I bring him on, I would like to pray for all of the U.S., especially in here in Baltimore, Maryland. Our city is under fire and breakout and riots are going on, and it's not just here in Baltimore, Maryland, but across the U.S. as our African-American males are being killed, and a lot of, you know, there's no true way to point fingers, but we just want to stop for a moment and say a moment of prayer for the leadership in the country, for the African-American males that are losing their lives, for the police department, and all of those individuals that are trying to make a change. Good, bad, and different, we're all here together. For this moment of silence this evening is for Freddie Gray, who was the latest fatality in this war on crime here in the U.S. So I just want to pause for a second and do a moment of silence just in honor of Freddie Gray. Okay, thank you so very much for that. So we're back here on IBT Radio Show with our first IBT Member of the Month and recent Ironman Texas 70-30 finisher, Mr. Roy Teal Jr. from Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome to the show, Roy. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Dorsey. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, and thank you for taking time out of your uber-busy schedule. Let me tell you guys, I inboxed Roy last week and was like, hey, do you mind being an honor, a guest on our show? And he was like, the day after 7:30, I tend to want to rest and just rest my mind, not be doing about an interview. So I am uber excited that you have decided to take time out for us and to be on the show. And I'm excited to hear about you, the person, and you, the member of the month, and you, the awesome Ironman 70-30 individual. You know, you have a lot going on, brother. So before we get started, Roy, let me ask you this question. What do you feel about how do you feel that the numbers for African Americans can increase for in triathlon?
I think the biggest thing is just to get out there and show that there is a presence of African Americans out in triathlons. I know when I did my first triathlon last year, when I showed up, I was in shock because, you know, I kind of did the triathlon on almost a dare, but a whim. And so I wasn't involved with triathlons at all up until that point. But when I walked into the facility and I looked over the hundreds of folks out there, and that took a while for me to see an African-American. And when I did, you know, I was like, wow, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, this was a sport that was so foreign to us. But as I've gotten into triathlons, I reach out to folks and I let them know that, you know, it's not just something that, you know, not for African-Americans or African-Americans. You know, I think, you know, a lot of the folks, you know, with swimming, you know, that's the main thing that keeps them away. But, you know, let them know that, you know, if you can, you know, if it's something that you work for and look for and, you know, interested in doing, you know, you can accomplish it. But, you know, I was just real surprised, new to the sport, to see that there wasn't many African-Americans at all.
You know, it's amazing. I'm glad that you mentioned that. It's, you started trying a year ago, and, you know, that shock is one, is a cultural shock. You know, someone had said before that, you know, looking out into the sea of all of those people that show up at triathlon events is like, you know, we're like spooks in a crowd, you know, like, oh, okay, there's a dark spot. But it's very, very small. And so what do you feel is needed to increase those numbers?
You know, again, just getting out there and spreading the word. I have coworkers who I've been, kidding with, but, I really am trying to get them out there to participate. I had one co-worker that did a sprint with me back in March, and he's addicted to it now. And so, if we each one can reach out and touch one, then eventually, we'll get those numbers to increase. I'm a part of a local tri club here in Fort Worth, and we have a program with a local middle school. And that middle school is comprised of primarily minority students, but we have about 20 of those students that we sponsor at local events. And, we're working on the next generation of minority triathletes and African-American triathletes. And I think, just from that alone, as we just keep getting the word out there and reaching out to others to participate, I think in time these numbers will increase.
I love the fact that you're local, you are part of a local group that's given back. When you guys are working with your local group, is it just from a track standpoint, or is it from a triathlon, or is it track leading into triathlons?
No, it's a bona fide triathlon program. We take them out. We get people to sponsor bikes and buy bikes for them. We take them out on weekly bike rides. We have pool sessions at a local YMCA, and then we also do the track work also. So it's a triathlon program. It's the bike, swim, and the run.
So I'm not going to put you on blast and want to try to figure out why IBP hasn't heard about this yet, but I'll just leave that. No one's listening, so I'm not gonna put you out there and ask that question. I'm going to inbox you, okay, so no one heard that. Okay. So that'll be a whole nother show. But no, kudos to you guys. There's some really, really good stuff, and I don't know how close Keisha and Jeremy are to you, but I will definitely let them know. Not that no one else is listening, right? But I will quietly let them know that this is what's going on down in their yard. So this is super awesome. So, what made you start trying? Like, did you just wake up one day and was like, I'm going to try? I mean, what motivated and inspired you?
Well, what happened for me is I had two co-workers of mine, and we were, in the health, and we had this challenge amongst ourselves to lose weight, and one of the gentlemen mentioned signing up for a sprint triathlon, and I said, well, hey, that sounds good, so let's work to do it. And after a few weeks, I was the only one left. But at that point, I was all in, and so, I started training and jogging, biking, and swimming on my own leading up to that that first sprint race. And after I got there, my goal was, originally just to do that one sprint triathlon, but after going through all those weeks of training leading up to that one, it was kind of hard for me to just stop there. So I did, I think, three or four more sprints that same year. So for me, it was pretty much a coworker suggested it, and I just kind of, took it on from there.
So that is uber wonderful, but help us understand. You and a few buddies just decided to take this on, and then you start training. Did you have any background in swimming already and biking, or were these things that you already knew and you just decided to train? I mean, what were you thinking?
Well, I let me go back a little bit. About 7 or 8 years ago, I was a little heavier than I was. Let's just say that I had lost weight to get measured to see how heavy I was. Our job had a wellness program, and and part of that, it had different benefits based off of how you progress weight wise from year to year. And so we had to go through a screening, and I wanted to get my weight down before that screening. But at that screening, I was 306. 306, and that was after losing some weight to get there. And so from that point, really, I really started, focusing on my health. I started running. I would do a little 5Ks and 10Ks here and there. But over time, I kind of got burnt out on just running. And so I started cross training. I bought a mountain bike. And so I would go to a local jogging and bike trail, and I would ride my bike out the works. Well, after being on a trail, you know, I'm a pretty competitive person. I see all these folks flying by me on road bikes, and I figured, you know, I'm not that, you know, that out of shape that, you know, I can't keep up with some of these folks. And so I figured it must be the bike. And so I went to a local bike shop, and I was surprised. I looked at the prices, and I know I got lightheaded. And so I talked to some folks, and they told me that, you know, you might be looking at an entry level bike, but, you know, trust me, you know, after a few weeks or a few months on it, you're gonna want something better. And so I didn't listen to them, of course. And so after hello.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. After I had that entry-level bike for a few weeks, sure enough, you know, I wanted something better. But at that point, you know, I couldn't get it. But so that started me into cycling, and then I really gotten into cycling. So I started buying the shoes and the jerseys and all that stuff. And so I was doing the jogging, and I was doing the cycling. And then my coworker, you know, he had mentioned the triathlon. And I said, well, you know, I could swim. Let's yeah, I can do this. And so my YMCA, we have a pool, a 25-yard pool. And so I got in there, you know, with the, you know, the goal to be able to swim 300 meters. And I could not make it to the end of the pool without coming up for air and, you know, heart palpitations, all of that. But, you know, my mentality is, you know, if there's something worth having, you know, it's worth working for. And so even though I couldn't swim, you know, one lap, I couldn't even make it to the end of the pool, I kept going. I kept trying. And so after, you know, about 4 or 5 months in the pool, I was able to get to the point where I could do, you know, 7 or 8 laps. And, you know, I just kept building from there. But, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know if I'm the norm or one of the outliers, but, you know, I'm one of those folks that don't have a coach. You know, I do a lot of things, yes, based off of things I read on the internet. I look at YouTube videos and tips here and there. But, you know, if you just, you know, keep working at it, you'll eventually get to the point where you can, you know, do the triathlons and or anything that you set your mind to.
Yes, absolutely. And so it sounds like this journey you've been on has been one of solo. You know, you just identified that you obviously you're self-motivator and you're self-determined and dedicated. And so you haven't had a coach, but have you trained with others, or you just self-motivated? You just get up and make it work on your own. Did you train with others, or did you eventually start training with others? And what was the difference from you training by yourself and having that team concept?
I use the joke, you know, I consider myself a long ranger. You know, most of my training, I'd say over 90% of my training is solo. Then, you know, if I do, you know, I try to encourage folks that I know that either run or cycle to, you know, if they're going to be out on the trails or out running or something, let me know so I can hook up with them. I prefer to, you know, like on the weekends to run or train with folks. But during the week, it's often difficult with people's, you know, work schedules and personal lives. I have gotten into like a local cycling group also. And every, you know, they do training rides on the weekends. And if I'm available, I hook up with them. But for the most part, you know, I do everything pretty much alone. I mentioned the local tri club. I found out about them a few months ago, and they have monthly meetings. And so I go there. It's a good way to network. But again, you know, people have, you know, their own schedules and things that prevent them from doing a lot of group training. When I do, you know, get to a point where I can train. It's with the others. It's mainly on the weekends.
That's good. And you, how much weight did you actually lose? Do you mind sharing?
Go ahead. You know, I get that question a lot, and to be honest with you, I'll tell you that when you're overweight, you don't weigh yourself a lot. And so at my heaviest point, measured, and again, this is after losing weight to get there, I was at 306. And right now, I'm around 217. Last time this year, I was down to about 206, but I don't know if I've put on muscle or what since then. But I think several trips to New Orleans this past fall have something to do with that also.
So, okay, we won't dive into your personal business on national radio, but if you want to share, it's okay. At any point, just let me know, and you can just chime into it. But
okay.
What was the difference when you were 306 versus you being 217? So has your confidence skyrocketed? Do you feel like you're still experiencing that self-doubt sometimes? And if so, how do you overcome it?
I don't know. Physically, I know I'm capable of doing a lot more things now than I was at 306, but mentally, you know, I know it's not the truth, but I feel that I'm just as healthy now as I was then. But I will tell you that my blood pressure was high, and I had been prescribed blood pressure medicine. But mentally, I don't feel like there was a big difference. But now, you know, certainly, you know, my blood pressure is fine. Everything is fine. I had a physical a couple of weeks ago, and the doctor was, you know, just real, you know, happy that, you know, everything was in order. You know, my cholesterol, everything was just fine. My, you know, blood sugar and all of that stuff. But, you know, I joke with my cousin, I think it was this week, as a matter of fact. The difference between 306 and where I'm at now, I'm Facebook fine. You know, that's what I tell her.
Okay. So you have recently been identified as IABP's Member of the Month. How feel? Like it was, like, you know, was unexpected? You know, not that, you know, you're getting the celebrity tours and all these, you know, publicity things, but how has that been for you, you know?
It was a surprise. I'm actually definitely honored that I was selected. I'm hoping that, you know, my story would help encourage others to get into the sport despite, you know, where they may be now. But, you know, if I look at, you know, the hundreds of members that are in IABT, that, you know, I was the one selected as the inaugural member of the month. You know, I'm really highly honored at that.
Yeah, and for those of you guys that are tuning in, we're talking to IABT member of the month and recent Ironman Texas 70/30 finisher, Roy Teal, sorry, Jr. And you can actually go to IABT's website right now, www.theiabt.org, and look at Roy's story. And not only look at it, read the story, but look at his transformation photos. And so I was just like, I mean, I know when Keisha identified who you were, and she was just like, oh, my goodness, did you see his before picture and his after picture? I was like, wow, that is like two different people. So I was amazed and stunned and motivated, like, that's what it's about. And I just enjoyed the fact that you didn't allow weight to be an issue from you getting up, being motivated. And for those people who are experiencing weight concerns, what would you share with them to get them from personal experience and to get them motivated and having them to believe in themselves?
Well, I'll tell you what works for me. What I did, first of all, is to get a little bit more active. Now, I didn't start off doing triathlons. You know, I gradually got active by, you know, walking and then getting to a point where I could jog a lap or two and kind of work yourself up from there. I know if you kind of look at some of the things that people are doing, it might be daunting, but, I mean, you could rest assured that no one started off where they are. You know, they all started somewhere. But the second part of that is nutrition. What I've what works for me, and you know, and this is again what works for me. I found healthy foods that I like, and what I tend to do is eat those healthy foods a lot, and that way it doesn't feel like I'm on a diet and it's something that I get burned out on. But if you know, think about it, if you're eating things that you like and they're good for you, you know, it's not a diet. I mean, and it's easy to, you know, keep that eating pattern. And so what works for me is I eat a lot of grilled chicken, a lot of green beans, a lot of tilapia, a lot of sweet potatoes with, you know, plain sweet potatoes. And that's primarily what my diet consists of. And so just, you know, eating that same healthy foods, you know, it kind of worked for me. And so, you know, I just, you know, encourage folks to, you know, find out what works for them. You know, a lot of times, you know, you have cheat meals, but, you know, I really don't even cheat a lot, you know, because, you know, what I'm eating I like. So.
Have you ever gotten to the point with your nutrition choices with boredom?
No, you're talking to, you know, my mom used to tell me when I was a little kid, you know, I could eat a whole chicken. So I don't get bored with chicken. You know, for me, when I do kind of want some change of pace, that's when I go to a tilapia. You know, can I eat that for a few days, you know, go back to chicken. But, you know, chicken can be prepared in a variety of ways.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. But I have to tell you, tilapia doesn't work for me, and my kids are sick of chicken. So I can wholeheartedly understand. Like, I'm a salmon type of female. So I can eat, even after wild salmon makes me, I don't like salmon. So then I'll go to just plain canned chicken. I mean, tuna fish. But, yeah.
Canned tuna fish?
That's the reason, yeah, canned tuna fish, you know, based in water. So I can eat that with no problem. So, yeah, this whole health thing is something to be desired. But what I enjoyed about what you said is, you know, everybody in the world is on a diet. It doesn't matter what your regimen is, meat eater and vegetarian, everybody is on a diet because everybody's eating pattern is different. So like you said, you know, for people that are listening or tuning in or download this show, do what works for you. You know, what works for Roy is not going to work for Takima. What works for Takima is not going to work for Keisha. What's going to work for Keisha is not going to work for anyone else. But definitely make sure that you identify something that works for you. So good information sharing there. So I want to take a real quick commercial break, which means that I'm going to just pause and answer questions. Posable questions, and we want to give a shout out to IVP's latest sir, which is Sutterfest. Sutterfest has decided to team with IVP to provide their training videos and training tools so that IVP members can get their workout on for those that self-coach themselves or are looking for an intense workout. So the information will be up on IVP's website on Wednesday, April 29th. So be sure to visit www.theivp.org. Or also be sure to visit Sutterfest at www.sutterfest.com to find out more about them. So we welcome Sutterfest on board to IVP's list of 2015 sponsors and appreciate them wanting to invest in us as we try to invest in our members. So, so we're now on the air with IVT's Member of the Month and recent I'm in 7030 finisher Roy Teal Jr. out of Texas. So, Roy, was yesterday your first half iron? What was it like?
Yes, it was. It was exciting. You know, going into it, you know, I put a lot of work in with running and cycling. And even swimming, I did my first open water swim about 2 weeks ago, and that was an experience. Because I wouldn't recommend that, by the way. But
approve your message.
After that first attempt, that first day, I mean, I was crushed because, I mean, sighting. You know, no pauses between laps. And, I mean, my heart rate was through the roof, and I didn't even go two-tenths of a mile, and I had to stop. And, you know, I was literally in tears, you know, thinking that, you know, I have the half Ironman in 2 weeks. But, you know, that no-quit mentality, you know, I say, you know, despite, you know, how difficult it was today, guess what? You know, I'm going to be right back out here tomorrow. And I showed up the next day, and, you know, I was a little bit more relaxed and kind of figured out that I should probably hold my head up a time or two to figure out which direction I was going. And, you know, I got better. After, you know, I got those, you know, few open water swims in, my confidence began to increase. And so, you know, I was real excited going into the race yesterday. When I showed up, I was a little disappointed because the water temperature made the wetsuits optional. And so I had the choice of going off with my swim wave or waiting for the very last wave of the day for the, you know, folks who opted to wear wetsuits. And I considered swimming in no wetsuit for about a half a second, and I opted to wear my wetsuit. But, you know, again, you know, I was excited, you know, I put in all the work, and, you know, I was just excited to get started. And so, you know, once it got to the point where all the waves had went off and it was now time for the folks who opted to wear the wetsuits. You know, I jumped in that first wave of wetsuit, you know, triathletes, and I hopped in, and the game's begun. You know, that was my first time having an open water swim, you know, in competition. And, you know, you hear stories about the bumping and the kicks and, you know, getting pushed underwater, and all of that's true. I got my goggles knocked off or kicked off several times where I had to stop and kind of tread water and, you know, get the water out of them and get started again. But, you know, it was fun. You know, about halfway into it, I thought I was finished, but that wasn't the case. It wasn't the case at all. And so just got out there and relaxed, and my swim time was actually, you know, better than what I was expecting, because, you know, I wasn't out there trying to push it, because I didn't want to, I mean, this is my first time, you know, and so I didn't want to gas myself on a swim, so I did the swim in about 49 minutes, and so hopped out, and, you know, smooth sailing from there, went to transition, went to get on my bike, looked down, and my right pedal was broken. And yes, it was broken, and I don't know what happened to it, but, you know, I didn't let that stop me. So I was clipped in on the left side and just pushing on the right. But, you know.
Wait a minute, say that again?
Yeah, my right pedal was broken. I don't know what you call it, the front part where you kind of clip in. That was broken apart, and so I couldn't clip my right foot into my bike, and so I did the bike portion with just one leg clipped in. But, you know, again, I didn't let that deter me. So after the bike, got into the run portion, and my goal was to run a complete half marathon of 13.1 without stopping, but I think about 4 or 5 miles into it, you know, reality set in, and my legs were talking to me. So I took a few breaks from there on in, but you know, once I completed it, and it was like, I mean, I was almost in tears. I wasn't going to cry. My wife and my friends were there, so you know, I wouldn't ever be able to you know, play that one down. But you know, it was exhilarating, right? You know, because you know, I just started this a year ago, and being self-taught, and you know, coming up with my own plans, you know, just proved that you know, you don't have to be well sponsored or have coaches. I mean, all those things are fine, but you know, for those folks who don't you know, have those, you know, they could still you know, compete in this sport.
And the thing, and now Roy is not saying go out and just self-coach yourself. He has a strong background, okay? So for those people listening, do not go Google Ironman plans or triathlon plans if you don't have a strong foundation in swimming, biking, or running, okay? He had a foundation from which he started from, right? If you guys are listening, he said it took him about 4 or 5 months to get to swim 7 to 8 lengths of a pool. The point was,
yeah,
he just didn't give up.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point. I'm not saying don't be a fool, but I mean, you have to know your limits. And if you can't run a mile, don't get out there trying to, you know, do a half marathon.
Because I can hear somebody saying, I heard Roy's, I downloaded the archive show from IDP, and Roy said, yeah, it only took him a year to do the 70-30. He self-coached himself all the way through. No,
hey,
that's just not what he said. Listen,
yeah,
all the way through from beginning to end for those of you guys that are just tuning in. So what's next? I'm just going to put it out there. This is between me and you, okay? Pretend like I'm inboxing you, but just tell me, okay, which Ironman event are you doing? And will it be in 2015 or will it be in 2016?
I've looked at the calendar for 2015, and none of them, I'll say that would be convenient for me, are available. All of those are sold out. So more than likely, it'll be 2016. Initially, I was thinking that my better half had some resistance to a full Ironman, but after yesterday, she's actually encouraging me to do the full distance. So I think I'll more than likely they'll be on the plate for next year. No particular race yet, but definitely next year.
So I will throw it out there. No pressure. Please come and join us for Ironman Maryland, which is October of 2016, which is a full 18 months. But don't tell nobody, okay? That's just between me and you, okay? I'm just going to put it out there, though.
Ironman Maryland.
Yes.
What's the temperature like in October?
Well, when I did Ironman Maryland this past September, which was my first, the temperature was right about the same thing that you guys ran into at Texas in Texas yesterday. It's 76, and we had the option. But because they've moved it now from September to October, it will 9.9% be wetsuit legal. Because the temperatures here in October, they are differently. So we're not anticipating it to be non-wetsuit. We're anticipating it being wetsuit, and the only choice you'll be given, you should identify whether it will be sleeve or sleeveless.
Well, that's great. Well, yeah, I'll definitely look into that one. Ironman Maryland.
Yes.
October.
Yes. Very flat. The water is a little choppy at times, but what water is it? You know, unless it's Cozumel, I believe, or Augusta. The course is completely flat. I mean, really like pancake flat. And the run is flat. It's an out and back, and you stay just like Texas. You know, you stay in the midst of the Ironman setup the entire way. You can hear and see and experience runners and everybody all the way along the way. It was really the best experience I think I had ever experienced in an event. So,
well, that's wonderful.
Yes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I was just saying that the temperature alone makes it almost worth it for me. Yeah.
Temperature is
And
really,
maybe
really
by
good.
that time, maybe by that time I'll have more open water swims under my belt too.
Yes. Oh my goodness. You got open water swimming has some people went to open water swimming this past weekend up here in Maryland for the first time, and the temperature was like 50. So, you know, the fact that you got in open water swimming 2 weeks ago, you know, I'm envious because for us, that really doesn't happen until like May, you know? So you
Yeah,
guys
it's
have two legs up. Two legs up. So, okay, so maybe 2016. So what, so where do you, so we know that your Ironman goals are somewhere in 2016. So what, you've trained all this long time, right? The reward is now over. By the way, you kicked butt, not only on the swim, you killed the bike. At that point, I didn't even look at your runs because I was just like, these dudes are rolling. All of the IEDC people, Calvin Emanuel, Lamar Few, Norman Grady, yourself, kicked butt. I was like, oh my goodness, this is why I miss them. Because I'm looking for Keisha and Carmen on the swim. You guys were out on the bike. I'm looking for them on the bike. You guys were done. And I'm like, what in the world?
Think, Keisha had a couple of hiccups on the bike. She said she had two flats, but
Two flat tires, yes.
yeah, two flat tires. But Jeremy Kuntz was there too, and I looked at him, and I think this guy is just about a pro. So don't forget Jeremy.
No, did he do it? I don't think Jeremy. No, Jeremy was there to support. He didn't do the race.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, Jerry Coop.
He did the race?
Yeah, he did it in like 4:42 or something like that.
Oh, Jeremy
Somewhere.
Kuntz. I'm thinking of Jeremy Gordon. Sorry. I didn't even know
Oh
Jeremy
no.
Kuntz was there.
Yeah, he was there also.
Oh.
But yeah,
So.
it was fun. Good to see all the IBT members out there and all the families and just supporting each other. That particular event the run was like four loops and you were like constantly passing each other. So we were kind of like high-fiving and supporting each other, and it made it just a much better event, knowing that you had fellow IBT members out there cheering you along.
Yeah, that's I can imagine that's how it was from Maryland, you know, and just the whole atmosphere of an Ironman event for people who have not had a chance, I would encourage you to go volunteer because the atmosphere is epic. You know, it draws you in and it makes you feel like you are one of the participants, even though you're just, I mean, you're like biting your teeth, clenching your teeth, you know, because you want people to finish. And so, and you want them to do well. And it's so exhilarating. So now that training is over, your A race, and it's only April is out the way. What do you do for the remainder of 2015?
I have about four or five sprints laid out. I think I have the first one coming up at the end of May. But my season pretty much ends around April or May because it's really too hot for down here and to do triathlon. You have to wait till the fall, and then in the fall I officiate high school football, so I'm pretty much done. So my try window is very limited. But I do have a handful of sprints between here and September, I believe.
You know, it is not going to be the same. I am sorry to tell you that. Once you go half iron, you'll never go back.
Well, yeah, and hold on, I might be one of those folks that say it's just a sprint from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta get out there and be like, this is it? Like,
Yeah.
I'm just
Just
getting warmed up. Like, what do you
Yeah,
mean? I'm done.
it's like I'm done. I'd still be on the just getting out of water at the half iron,
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but You talk about training. You know, I got to a point where, you know, it really has become, you know, my lifestyle. I mean, it's, you know, I tell my folks this is what I do. So, you know, I'm going to take it easy. Probably, you know, I didn't, you know, do anything today, and then I might take it easy tomorrow. But, you know, Wednesday, you know, it kind of starts back up. You know, once you do get into the habit of training every day, it's kind of hard to just stop. So even though I don't have a lot of races lined up or events, you know, I still will, you know, continue with training. You know, I typically work out before work Monday through Friday, and then after work Thursday, and then I'll do a brick session on Saturdays, and Sundays are my rest days.
You know,
so all
I
of
can
that
remember
will
what
continue.
I go ahead.
No, I was
yeah,
just saying
so
all of that will continue.
I can remember after Ironman Maryland, it took me almost 10 weeks before I stopped training. I was still in that distance mode, like riding a 49-miler just because I was used to doing it on Saturdays, you know, and long runs on Sunday. It is a pattern that you literally can't just stop. You can't just break it and say, I'm done. But I have to tell you, Rory, just the information you shared this evening has been so enlightening, and I hope that you actually go back and just, you know, listen to the information you shared, because it's going to help so many people on so many levels. I mean, I could break it down, but I want you to identify it, you know, or at least listen, you know, just from the male perspective, which is very rare, because some males are just too macho to want to talk. You know, this is like, God, I ain't got time for that. But,
yeah.
You know, the weight loss journey, the inspiration, you know, going from starting this a year ago to 7:30 a year later, 70.3 later, it's just really, really good. And I hope that your significant other gets involved, because I would love to have you guys come on together. Go ahead. Did you want to add something?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I was talking to her yesterday. You know, you mentioned that Ironman experience, you know, the race day. But
hang on just a second. Oh, my gosh. As Roy becomes a celebrity while he's on the, and while he's on the radio.
Hello, okay. And so what I was saying, that, you know, after she got in that atmosphere and she saw that all the participants, you know, they weren't you know, if you look at them, you know, they weren't your typical athlete. And so I was trying to work on her to maybe get her involved, but she's still putting up a little resistance. But, you know, that's not going to, you know, stop me from still trying to get it out there.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. I would encourage you, Roy, as well as everyone that's listening, IBT is, we'll be releasing our first book called A Beginner's Guide to Triathletes, Jumpstart Your Triathlon Journey. And it is geared towards those individuals that are interested in trying or are already trying and they're still in their beginning phases. And we cover all of the things that is identified in triathlon, swimming, transition, cycling, running, nutrition, hair care for African-American women. You will be able to get your copy on IBT's website by May 15th. So you'll be able to go to www.theibt.org and order your paperback or your Kindle copy, and hopefully that will get some people, that will be a tool for individuals to be able to use. So hopefully she'll, you know, she's in the environment, Roy, and you know, some of that knowledge that we share from our certified coaches and experience, those experience in the sport will help, you know, push her over the edge. This is the only time to jump off the edge.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely get a copy for her, but I need all the help I can get. But, you know, sometimes, you know, my wife is more receptive to ideas from other folks than coming from me.
Roy, you know, I would just say, who isn't? You could tell a person in front of you how important stuff is, and it'll go on one ear and out the other. But let one other person say it, and you would think that Jesus spoke.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, my goodness, that is so smart. You'd be like, really? Absolutely, absolutely. So, well, Roy, it has been a pleasure. We are actually wrapping up right now. I do encourage you to please download and archive your show because you gave extraordinary, wonderful information. And thank you so very much for taking time out of your rest period because I know you could be off swimming or biking or cycling or somewhere after your long event. Yeah. And for those that are tuning in, we are wrapping up with IBT first ever member of the month and recent Ironman 70.3 Texas finisher, Roy Teal Jones. Please look, reach out to him on Facebook if you can find him. If not, it's a secret. He'll find you. So and look for his Ironman debut in 2016, hopefully at Ironman Maryland. And from the International Association of Black Triathletes, we'd like to say thank you so much. To be a guest, a sponsor, or advertise, email us at ivttriathlete@gmail.com. So, Roy, I'm hoping that you recover safely and have a really, really good week, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Is that a deal?
That's a deal.
Yeah, so we'll have to follow up and see how your sprints are going, even though once you go half iron, you'll never really want to go back. But that's another show. So, so thank you so much. So enjoy your evening, and I look forward to speaking with you soon, all right?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Dorsey.
All right, thank you. I'm Roy Teal Jr. Congratulations.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.